Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello. Actually, it's not Steve. It's Becky Brown, and I am happy to be here today with Milan Yurkovich and Chris Williams. Hello, guys.
Hey, Becky.
We're excited.
It is always good to be with you.
We always have a good time, even if we are states apart, but we're literally social distancing on a grand scale. And we don't need masks because we're like in completely two different rooms. And I think sometimes the listeners don't know that the magic of technology connects us across the states. And that same magic is going to be in play because we can't meet in person for our workshops that change so many people's lives, but we have made them available online, and we've got a couple coming up. July 25th is our intimacy and marriage workshop, and then August 8th is finding freedom, and we have two of those speakers right with us. So Milan, let's talk about intimacy and marriage. What would you say to somebody who is considering joining us on that online experience?
Well, it is one of the most convenient opportunities you could ever take advantage of. It is on a Zoom call. We will have hundreds of people linked in. They will have a counselor to work with another cluster of other couples. But then they're going to hear Steve Arterburn do sessions, and then Kay and myself will do sessions. And I guarantee you they will hear things they'd never heard before. They will hear about why there is repetitive and tenacious problems in their marriage, that these problems existed within each person prior to them getting married, and also how to get out of that. And the thing I'm worried about the most is, will people laugh at my jokes? I told Kay, because it's a Zoom thing.
Yeah.
And
Does
so I told Kay, you have to laugh at all my jokes so the people out there know to laugh.
It puts a lot of pressure on her.
It puts a lot of pressure on Kay. It really does. But then again, I laugh at my own jokes, too.
There you go.
So I'll be chuckling away. But it'll be a great time.
That's right. Well, even if you can't hear them laughing, Milan, you'll see them laughing.
Just sort of bobbing up and down.
They'll be bobbing up and down, Chris, how would you encourage somebody to attend the Finding Freedom workshop?
Yeah, much similar to what Milan has said, but on an individual level, we have these really frustrating struggles. Mm-hmm. It could be lashing out in anger. It could be a relationship with food or spending, or it could be the typical, you know, we think of offenders like alcohol or drugs or sexual acting out. But whatever it is, there's something in our life that keeps hijacking us or holding us back. And that could be really baffling. What we're going to do is we're going to help you identify clearly what is that thing that is holding you back, that really painful pattern that just keeps hijacking your life, and then begin to unravel it in a way where it kind of neutralizes its power, but most importantly, it gives you a new vision for moving forward and the tools to move forward to get on the other side of the thing that holds you back so you can live more fully in God's will and good and perfect and pleasing will for your life.
You know, one of the great things about these workshops is there's no hotel, there's no travel, there's no excuse that you could come up with that would make it impossible for you to participate. So you can find out more by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com and click on the workshop tab and read all about it there or even register there. But just know that it is the best use of your day. I mean, it's one day, and it's the least expensive that we've ever offered, and we do have scholarship available. So there are no excuses to make some radical transformation in your life or your marriage. I say it so many times about the marriage workshop that it literally is a life-changing experience, and I would say the same for finding freedom. And so give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get connected today to those online workshops. It may be the thing that you needed all along.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Becky Brown, and I'm joined with Chris Williams and Milan Yurkovich, and we are answering your calls today. And right now we're going to go to Rose, who's calling us from New York and listens on Sirius XM. And Rose, we're so glad that you called today. How can we help you?
Well, thank you. I'm calling because I found out the past few days ago that my husband had an affair with a former friend of mine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yep, you know.
So sorry.
I don't know how to move on. He's very repentant. He's been speaking. Sorry.
That's okay.
A friend of his for help, and I don't know how I will ever trust him again. Mm-hmm. He's had a porn problem our whole marriage. We've been married 27 years, and he's damaged from when he was a kid, and he said that, and we want to stay together. I just don't know how I will ever trust him again, because it's just, it's a stab in the heart.
Sure it is. And you know what, Rose? There are no answers that we're going to give you today that's going to give you the complete picture. But so you can just kind of breathe easy on, I don't know how we're going to do this, because you don't at this point. There are good things. He's repentant. Isn't that what you said, that he's repentant?
100%.
Right. I mean, that's a great place to start. And, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know that that's a kind of a posture that you have to take going forward. And you're going to need some your own healing work as well, because this is traumatizing to you. And to have some support around you as you go through this. Chris or Milan, what would be some next steps that you would direct Rose and her husband to do as they go forward?
Yeah, Rose, I want to start here with your husband, and he seems to have really good insight to some of his maybe early pains and struggles and shame that has driven his sexual acting out, his pornography, and this devastating affair. But right now, this is going to sound kind of mean, but I really mean it, and that is this. Mm. Insight is cheap.
Mm.
And
exactly.
And so action is invaluable. And so his ability to get into addressing the problem through tangible action. I mean, we're 2 days out right now from Every Man's Battle online. You know, he's got to be in Every Man's Battle this Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's got to be engaging in the follow-up. He's got to start putting a full court press on this issue in his life. And really put focus on that. And so his temptation is going to be helping you feel better, because your anger and hurt are going to trigger his shame. Mm-hmm. And I want you to be able to refocus him, or turn him back to, no, keep focusing on your recovery, on your fidelity.
Right.
The only way that trust is going to be rebuilt, and it's going to take years to do that, is that the analogy that we use here at New Life is brick by brick, thinking of Lego bricks. And those are each action. Now, it's easy for those bricks, or for those Lego bricks, to get wiped out, to get stepped on, or to get knocked over. And so it just takes a lot of intentionality on his part. And, we're looking at doing a restore this fall. So keep a lookout on for that conference for you.
Right. Milan, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, Rose, I am so sorry about what you're going through. I agree with what both Chris and Becky said, but Becky said something very important, which was this is traumatizing to you. It brings great grief to your soul. And one of the things I would do is I would work on you by going to a grief recovery group, people that could help you manage the loss. It's a massive loss that you've experienced. And that's going to be that's going to be an important part of your journey. The Restore workshop that you know we offer is something that will be held this fall, as Chris said, but it's a place where women can gather together and they can find sisters in the Lord who've been through this together, and it just helps to know you're not alone. So I just want to take time and look at you here. I agree with Chris, everything he said, that, and then again with Becky, this is something that you have to find a place of healing and rest and patience. And don't hurry the trust question too fast.
Right.
It's going to take time.
Right. It's
been our whole marriage life. Yeah. 27 years, and I've been telling him, I don't trust you. You're sitting in front of me. I don't trust you.
Mm. Right. Right. Well, and, you know, I mean, Mylon, I know you talk about this too. You know, there's a reason why we get in relationships like this, right? There's this dance that kind of goes on. Mm-hmm. And Rose, there is a future. And you can find hope in it, but it's going to take some time and some healing. We're going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust, and I'd actually like to send her a copy of Rescued. I know I'm going over the edge, taking a risk, but I want you to know, Rose, that we care for you. We'll be praying for you. We'll ask the audience to pray for this marriage as well. It's tough when you're welcome, and it's tough when things come up that shock us. That's that trauma that we're talking about, and you know, it seems a lot of times when there's an affair that's discovered, we're, you know, quick to judge and say, oh, well, we're done and there's no resolution that's going to come from this. We just got a divorce. Well, we think that, and we've seen it, where if somebody is willing to do the work, we can see some miracles happen. And so we're praying that for you, Rose. Right now, we're going to talk to Jeff, who's calling us from, I think it's Thousand Oaks and KDAR. Jeff, glad you called today. How can we help you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been in a relationship for about 15 years. And 3 years ago, we separated. We are no longer living together. We have a 7-year-old son together.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been through the 12-step Alcoholics Anonymous program. I am 3.5 years sober.
Great.
And I've learned so much and been freed from so much bondage in those 3.5 years. And I am in this relationship that I just feel is going nowhere. And I am... I'm going to have to say I'm losing faith and hope that this relationship is a losing battle. I've presented all kinds of truths and ways to help this relationship. And I'm dealing with a woman that struggles with eating disorders. She's very much introvert. She has been overweight since young childhood, and just seems like she doesn't want to get the help. I've literally gone to overeaters meetings personally to find all this information. I've presented her with books. I've got scheduled the meetings, and she refuses to take a step to reconcile this relationship. And I'm thinking, how much longer do I continue this if she's not making an effort?
Well, great question, Jeff. I think my first question would be, you know, what prevented you from getting married? Because that commitment can kind of hold together in times where there's been great disruption, like you're describing. And then my other on the other end of that, I would like to know what was the breaking point for the separation. You know, like I hear that you're wanting to help her, and you're doing all these, you know, kind of looking into what you can do to help her. But then there's this separation. So
I think the breaking point, I would almost want to arrogantly say I know the breaking point, was she had a job for, I think it was 18 years. And after having the baby and taking that leave, she went back to work and was immediately given 1 week to clear out her desk. And so this poor woman's entire financial security and what I considered a big part of her life was taken away. Mm. She went from a $50,000 a year income to nothing, and it crushed her. Mm. It absolutely crushed this woman.
She walked
away from the Lord. She stopped fellowshipping with the women in the church.
Okay. All right. We get a picture. We get a picture. Mylan, or who wants to start?
I will. Okay. Jeff, there's a 7-year-old boy involved. He's your son, right? Okay.
Yes.
I think you should have one goal, and that is not to be the policeman, the enforcer, the probation officer, the weight loss counselor. Your job is to be a friend to both of them. Just be a friend. Visit, do fun things, play. It's hotter than heck in Thousand Oaks. Get in a water fight, you know, with the hoses. Chase your son around the yard. Anything that you can do to be a friend to the family. And develop a different kind of relationship. Your goal is not at first to get her back in the church. You're right, she was devastated. And so she doesn't know how to deal with when bad things happen to good people. People have to learn to integrate good and bad, but she was devastated. Just be a friend. Have fun. See them regularly. Do stuff together.
Are you surprised by that?
I see my son regularly. We have definitely, she's taken me to court, restraining order and all that. And it's about 80-20. But the last 3 months, my son has been with me 24/7. She was in intensive care for 1 month.
Mm.
She just got out of the hospital a week ago.
Oh.
And apathy had it's good to learn to walk. They removed part of her lung. She had sepsis.
Wow.
Pulmonary failure.
She's so really decompensating.
She needs a friend.
I know. And right now she has a friend, and that is her sister.
Okay, so Jeff, listen to me. You're trying to control her because you're scared. Mm. And your fear makes sense. It really does. I mean, she's in a life-threatening situation, as you were before you got into sobriety. You found the solution. But I'm going to go back to your 12th step. So the 12th step is that, you know, we're taking these principles and practicing them in our daily lives. So let's just go back to what you can and cannot control. You cannot control her. It's impossible. All your efforts have failed, as they typically do for all of us. But what you can do is go back to what's in me, what's the best me that can show up for her and show up for my son. That gets my full and undivided attention. Mm-hmm. And so I want to work these principles in my daily life, that the principles of acceptance. And how do you accept the unacceptable? Well, Mylan was talking about that. We sort of reconcile these differing things, the good and the bad, and we just hold it and say, God, I have to accept that which I cannot change, i.e. serenity prayer, so then I have the energy to change the things that I can, or the courage to change the things I can, and help me know the difference. But Jeff, what we're recommending is that you show up the best that you can for them, as opposed to trying to change them.
Yeah, and in that new version of you, she will not feel a need to have a restraining order.
Right.
You see, we're talking about two different guys here. Someone she needs to protect herself from versus somebody she wants to have walk through the front door.
That's
so
right.
I'm just trying to create that contrast.
I agree 100%. Not wow. that you need my approval, but I just want to encourage you, Jeff. They know what they're talking about. I hope that that helps you. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Becky Brown, and I'm smiling because we have an offer this month. Before I go to that, I just want to say we're going to send Jeff a copy of Take Your Life Back, and you can also get a copy of that, too, at How We Love, I was going to say, newlife.com. But the thing I'm smiling about is in July, we're doing, for a gift of any amount, we're going to send you the new book, Growth Has No Boundaries, by John and Henry, John Townsend and Henry Cloud. And I tell you, it can make a difference in your life, and your gift to New Life will make a difference in someone else's life. So give us a call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll get that to you. You know, it's the hardest thing is to write a relationship that's gotten off the rails. And so as we were talking to both our previous callers, they seem like impossible situations. But I think what happens so many times is that people get into those ditches and abandon ship, so to speak. They just walk away from the wreck. And there's so much to be gained by working through and getting that, you know, going again. And then also, if it can't, for whatever reason, because there are situations where you can't keep going forward, you'll have the confidence to know that I did everything I could to make that right. And so we can help you with that. And, you know, we're always here for you to help with that. Right now, I want to talk to Joan, who's calling us from Walla Walla, Washington, and station KLRF. Joan, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Yay!
And my basically, my question is, oh man, sorry.
That's okay.
In a nutshell, I've been married for 27 years, and my husband and I have really been through almost everything that you can think of in a marriage, but we're still together, and most recently, what has happened is, it was the July 4th is our wedding anniversary, and so we exchanged gifts, and I think I pretty much bombed because my husband got me something that my daughters, he had asked their advice, and they said, Dad, Mom's not going to like that, and he went ahead and got it anyway, which was fine. And I was very gracious, and I was very appreciative. But then I let a day go by, and I said, honey, you know, I really appreciate what you got me, but I think I'd rather just have this simple thing. And he was okay with it at first. He was fine with that. He said, well, we'll return it. And then I feel like I really screwed up because I had gotten rid of, like, all the receipts for this thing, and so I decided I was going to try to sell it. Well, for some reason, me selling it really threw him over the edge, and he lashed out at me in a fit of rage. And so I feel like it's my fault, but yet I do walk on eggshells around him, and I'm trying to find out what is normal, if his response to me was normal.
Mm. You know, Joan, I think by your reaction, just your tears right now, I would say it's probably not normal. You know, it's one thing to have a reaction, but if he's raging at you over something like this, there's a bigger problem. How often does this happen?
I say we can't get through 1 year without it. I'd say maybe a couple, two or three times a year, it happens.
Okay.
And sometimes it happens, and I'm not even aware that it's going to happen.
Well,
I know that
so,
you grew up in a very angry home.
Okay. Well, you're fortunate that this first time that you called, that you have Mylon Yurkovich, and I would love, Mylon, for you to talk about that rupture and repair process that isn't happening in this relationship.
Well, Joan, this is so painful, and I can hear by your tears how devastating this is, and it's wearing on you. If you've been married 27 years, I'm not good with math, but that's a lot of times, you know, over that period of time that you felt his rage. You know, Joan, you're asking a great question. How long do I keep putting up with this? And the answer is, I need to stop really now, but I need to do it in a smart way. I need to really talk to him. And you said this, you know, he grew up in an angry house. He knows no other way to relate. But to find a place where you can say, you know, I found a counselor that specializes in couples learning to be respectful to each other, have a voice, listen to each other, and have compassion for one another. And I'd really like to go to that. Finding the right counselor that can help you learn something entirely new. Even though you've been married 27 years, odds are people just are still doing what they were trained to do in their families of origin. And until you calculatedly decide, I'm going to change this about me, that's really important to do. Secondly, you may want to say to your husband, I can't do this anymore. I won't do this anymore, and I need for you to take me seriously, and we need to get some help.
What does that sound like to you, Joan? Does that sound doable?
It does. It does sound doable. I'm definitely willing to try that.
Well, it's a great place to start. We're going to give you a copy of Mylon's book, How We Love, and it can give you some principles about what he's talking about, but we also have counselors that can help you with this process. So hold on the line and we'll get you connected. And for the rest of you, hold on and we'll take your calls in a minute.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Joan, Chris wanted to add one more thing.
Yeah, this is really important for Joan, and that is she said, I think I really messed up, but the messing up was based on her husband's rage.
Right.
And so she's decided that his lack of self-control is her conscious barometer. Hmm. So his lack of ability to work through his disappointment, his frustrations, his ability to communicate well what's going on inside of him is not, Joan, an indictment on you. And that's really critically important, because I want you to be able to do the work to separate your sense of good and bad, and more importantly, your sense of being okay from his angry responses.
And Chris, that implies separateness, that
yes.
She is an individual that is separate, that she's differentiated from him.
Exactly.
And she can see herself as a separate entity and not fused to him or enmeshed with him.
And that's where it becomes critically important for the boundaries to say, that behavior, that rage, that doesn't work for me. You're going to have to go do that somewhere else.
Well, and to add one more thing, you know, Joan, that you'll have to do your own healing work, because the trauma that you've experienced over the 27 years has changed who you are and how you respond. And so you're going to, there's some healing that can be done. I think that's such a an important part of the process too, because you've had this experience, and a lot of times people who rage, they feel better because they've thrown up all over you. Mm-hmm. But you're left with the vomit, and you're left with cleaning it off. I mean, that's obviously the metaphor. You know, we were just talking about that at the break. But, you know, that's such a cycle that can occur in relationships, where you've got somebody who just throws up and they feel better, but you're left with the mess. And so you'll have your own work that you have to do, Joan, and I know that something will help. And, you know, I'll be praying for you. We'll all be praying for you and your husband as well. Speaking of somebody who prays all the time, Larry Sonnenberg, our president, is in the studio. Larry, what are you praying for today?
Oh, my goodness. Praying I can get through this this appeal for funds without sounding repetitive and whiny.
We'll pray for that, too.
Thank you. There are a lot of bigger things I'm praying for, but yes, there's not time.
Okay.
You know, I read testimonies because I want people to feel affirmed in their giving, and I want to encourage people who haven't yet given to give. And there's a testimony here from Every Man's Battle, and the timeliness of this is that we're doing Every Man's Battle 2 days from now on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And it's powerful, and we need you guys to sign up. This is the last full day we're taking registrations. Tomorrow at noon Central Time, it gets cut off, just so we can get everything in order for these online workshops. But here's what Jim said. Before this weekend, I'd never given much thought to the directive that we are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I knew that Christ gave his life for us and took all of the pain and suffering that was meant for me. But I never put two and two together that I'm called to do that for my wife. Because of this weekend, I'll be going back to my wife, ready to bear her pain and minister a message of unconditional love to her, in the hopes that I can help to restore her sense of peace, safety, and acceptance. My biggest regret is that it has taken 27 years for me to get here.
Wow.
You know, God loved that wife for 27 years dealing with whatever it was that he was doing to hurt her and cause her pain. Mm-hmm. So, guys, you can achieve that this weekend. You can do that this Saturday. You can get an understanding of what your relationship with your wife really needs to be, and how you can get through the sexual integrity stuff that you've been fighting. So please give us a call at 800 New Life, and think of coming to that workshop. And ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call and make a gift to New Life.
Yeah, it makes... Now, go ahead, Larry.
Now, Larry, this isn't something you should have to whine or beg about. Because
I agree.
Because the simple facts are this. It costs a lot of money for Christian radio shows to be on the air. Unlike secular radio, all Christian radio has to pay to be on the air. In addition, there is advertisement that is also purchased that it helps to support the broadcast, but we pay lots of money to be able to be on the air so everybody can listen, whether it's on Sirius XM or whether it's on a local radio station. It costs millions of dollars a year. And so it is a fact of life. It is, if people like this, this is what needs to happen. It's just a fact of life, Larry.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, I...
Okay.
So Larry's no like, whining. I'm not whining
anymore.
It is
just the story, and it's a reality. And we forget it because we push a buttons on in our car, and it doesn't cost us anything. That's and it. So we confuse them all. So
Thank you.
I just wanted to just jump in there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're not whining, Mylan. You're no. just exhorting the goal. That's, you know, everybody participate.
That's right.
That's right. Well, and right now we're going to participate by taking one of those calls, and we're going to talk to Fred, who's calling us from Boston and listens on WEZE, and we're so glad you called, Fred. How can we help you?
Hi. Hi. This is Fred. Hey, I just had a question, and I was telling the lady who answered originally that, but my question is this. I have a problem. Like, I like to exercise, you know, I like to run and go to the gym and everything like that. But then I stopped for a while, but I really felt God telling me at one point to stop doing a lot of it because, I was getting too much fried and things like that. But I really have a hard time stopping, especially when I see other Christians like, oh, these guys are all going to the gym and working out. And then, you know, you see like someone like, you know, I don't mean to pick on Tim Tebow and other people, somebody seems to work out. But I mean, so I've been thinking to myself, like, why am I, you know, why is this so important to me at this stage in my life? And because one time it really wasn't. I mean,
Fred, let me ask you a question. What about yourself do you find unacceptable?
Well, you know, I gotta tell you, I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I just never really was treated. I wasn't the best looking.
No, no, Fred, you know, Fred, like let me try helping you out here. When you were growing up, no one reflected your true value back to you, your worthiness.
Yeah.
And so you've over time built this internal belief, which for me it comes from the pit of hell, and the belief is this: I'm not enough. And so if I'm going to be a better Christian, I've got to work out like Tim Tebow. Because how I find myself in the present moment is just intolerable. So I've got to go do something to make myself feel more tolerable to myself.
Well, that could be true. And there's probably a lot of truth because I'm an introvert. And I think it's because of the reflecting, you know, that people through the years have,
So Fred, and this is going to be the challenge, is because, you know, we're born with this inherent value, you know, this image bearing from God. And I believe that best parenting is done is to reflect that value back. Parents don't give us our value. Their job is to reflect it, usually by empathy and attunement and guidance and leadership and discipline and all of those things that help us grow into healthy human beings. And it just sounds like that was absent from you. And so you're dealing with a lot of confusion. About who you are. But what is damaged in relationship also needs to be repaired in relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to highly recommend that you get into some group work. If there's some Zoom therapy groups out there, volunteer, see where you can be a part of other people's lives. But again, I think the Finding Freedom Workshop would be a great, great place for you to start here.
Yeah, we're going to do that August 8th. We'll connect you with that, Fred. You know, the other part is that we have life recovery groups that meet all over the country, and so maybe there's one in your area. We'll help you find that. But, you know, anytime that we're making a big shift, you had some revelation here today when Chris was asking what is driving this. And it can get a little nerve-wracking, to say the least, to make any changes. And so just know that, it's going to take a process of healing, of calming down that inner self that says that I'm not enough, that says that I need to do more to be accepted. And in group, you can find that acceptance and healing. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. As always, we talk about this during the breaks, and Mylon had a great thought that I want him to share with you regarding what Fred was talking about.
Well, Fred talked about, and he said it sort of in passing, he says, I reflect on the things people have said over the years, And I said, you know, which means he thinks about things. Mm-hmm. I said, I'd rather change the word from reflect to obsess. You know, when people say things to hurt us and that really speak to a place where we feel shame, mm-hmm. which I think is true for so many of us, then we obsess on it. We think it over a million times a day or a week or year, and then that compels us to do something. Mm-hmm. People with obsessive compulsive behaviors of all sorts and thought patterns, they're not reflecting on things, they're obsessing. And so what they're allowing those people's words to do is have so much power mm-hmm. that it literally is driving their bus. Mm-hmm. And so they need another place to go to help desensitize the power of that shame that is put upon us by other people our entire lives. And grammar school and junior high and high school and even college at times, there is so much cruelty between mm-hmm. children and what they say to one another. And they do last with us for a lifetime until we decide, do I want to let that stick to me anymore? No, I don't. I need to get to a place where I'm in group and community asking others to help me take that off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Now, the Apostle Paul said, put aside the old self. Mm-hmm. Lay it aside and let God create a new version of you. Mm-hmm. And so we have to consciously be letting things go.
Yeah.
That's and really the whole concept of our feelings driving the bus or our experiences, the old messages, we live unconsciously. Mm-hmm. We literally yeah. are mm-hmm. not even aware of how we're moving about in the world. And one exercise that I think helps is the next time something happens that you feel that auto bus, that auto driver, you know, in you, just stop and say, what am I feeling right now? Just try to name mm-hmm. the feeling. And then, you know, where does this come from? Because we have a tendency to say that person made me feel this way. And after so many years, it's not the other person anymore. It's what we're carrying inside.
Right. And I do that outside out loud, Becky. If mm-hmm. you think I'm it, sure. you stay. Well, no, if you think it, you stay spinning in it.
Yeah.
But yes. if you say yes. it outside, it puts it into a new part of your brain and lets mm-hmm. you obsess it. And I go, Mylan, what are you doing right now? Look at all the time you're spending on this thought. This yeah. thought isn't yours. It was intruded by somebody else into my brain. Are you going to let this happen, Mylan? You're going to keep thinking about this?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I talk to myself like that.
That's right. Well, I love that so kind helpful. Of talk. That's good yeah. self-talk.
Yeah.
I would, you know what? That makes me think. I'd love to send Fred a copy of Rethink How You Think by Dave Stoop because he talks about
that's
that
great.
Kind of stuff too.
Yep.
And talks about meditating on scripture to change those brain pathways. We have just a couple minutes left and I wanted to get to caller Sarah, who is one of our Club New Life family members. We're so glad you are. And if you want to join Club New Life to help us do what we do, you can just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But Sarah, we wanted to get your question in real quick. You listen on the podcast. And what is your question today?
Thanks. So excited. Should I keep pursuing a relationship with the son I placed for adoption? We have an open adoption, but there hasn't been much of an interest, I would say, in the past few years. And how do I deal with my young daughters who would like to have a relationship with him?
Okay, so this is a son that you had and then placed him for adoption, and these years have passed, and now you'd like to reconnect. Is that the question?
Yes, we've had an open adoption with a few visits, but he lives cross-country. Mm-hmm. But the last visit was 5 years ago, and I send birthday cards, and they will occasionally send Christmas presents, but there's not much of a, you know, if I send something, there's no response.
Right.
And so 2 months ago, I called the mom, who we've had a pretty good relationship with, to get to be a bit more blunt. Like, you know, should I
right.
be doing something? Should I not? Because he's 17 and she has not called me back.
Okay.
So I guess one of the questions is his birthday's coming up. I kind of don't want to be dismissed anymore. That's kind of my own pain, but I want to do what's best for him, and I want him to know that I want a relationship, but if it's not welcomed, I don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're taking the risk to reach out to him.
Right.
and don't want to feel that rejection. My take on it, I'm going to say this before you guys add your two cents, but my take would be that you approach it from a place of a benefactor, so to speak. Like you're just directing love towards him until either his okay. mom, not in an obsessive way, not in a stalker kind of way, but just, right. you know, because it can be so important for him to know you have good thoughts and love towards him, but that you're not expecting anything from him, because there's a big process that, you know, he may not want a relationship with you right now. He's got a lot of things that he's right. probably facing. So that's just my two cents. But Mylan and Chris, what do you want to add to
well,
that?
Well, Sarah, you just described your separation sensitivities. You're sensitive to separation mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I don't want to be dismissed.
Yeah.
And you'd rather throw in right. the towel than have him play with inattentiveness toward you, mm-hmm. which you're right. That does speak mm-hmm. to your issues. And those have been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Those have been there, and you've felt those mm-hmm. for a long time. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be hard, but it is very, very loving, the spirit with which I'm trying to share this. You don't want yeah. to be dismissed, but yet in giving him up for adoption, he feels dismissed.
Yeah,
he was given away. Mm-hmm. Now at 17, yeah. when testosterone hits and all the secondary sex characteristics, and all of a sudden a child begins to turn into an adult and they start thinking, who the heck am I?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
why am I here? What's yeah. going on? And so, especially with the distance and then the infrequency of your connections, he might not really be bonded to you at all. Even though it's an open adoption, Sarah, it doesn't mean he's bonded. Right. Bonding is something we do every single day, every single week. Just those are my thoughts, Sarah. Right. And I say those lovingly.
Yeah. And I love your openness.
I totally get it.
Yeah, and I love your openness to this, Sarah, because as Mylan was saying, when you come to mind and he's gonna start grappling more and more with the impact of being an adopted child. It's one of the most complicated mm-hmm. processes that a person has to go through in life. And so there may be so much inside of him that he doesn't know what to do with, or maybe is not ready to do with something with having contact with you. He doesn't know what it'll mean, right. what it won't mean. Right. So there is so much complication here. Mm-hmm. And as Becky and Mylan were saying, your work is to continue to what does this mean for me? What are my expectations?
Right.
Are they unrealistic? Mm-hmm. But your needs, Sarah, are still really important. You know, most likely you made this incredibly tough decision.
Tough decision.
17 years ago mm-hmm. in his best interest
right.
and your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
I want you honored right. for that, but I also want your needs of closeness, as Mylan was saying, being met. And just unfortunately, your son's not going to be able to meet those.
I know a lot of teenagers, 17 years old, that are angry
yeah.
at a lot of things. So,
well, you know, it's a tough thing, but Chris is right. You did the right thing. We're so grateful for the opportunity to connect with you all, the callers today. And Sarah, thanks so much for being Club New Life. If you need anything, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Mylan, for your wisdom and always being right on time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.